One rider came into view, walking his horse slowly. He had a Remington slung over his shoulder and was clad in animal skins tied over ragged leggings and a jerkin. He had a beard flecked with gray and long hair tied back from his face. He stopped almost directly in front of where Ryan was in cover and looked around from his mount.
You might as well come out, people. We know you're here and we've got you surrounded.
There was no response from Ryan's people, still carefully assessing the situation.
Come on. You know you're surrounded and you know we could drop you where you hide. It wouldn't be hard. So why haven't we done that? We want to parley. See who you are. You could chill me now, no prob. But you know that's a bad move. That would just bring the rest of us down on you. So I'm still here, and I appreciate that. But we don't have forever.
Ryan signaled to the others, hoping they would see through the gloom, and stepped out, hands loose at his sides, no weapons in view. He calmly moved toward the clearing, avoiding the sticky corpses. Although his body language was non-confrontational, he kept himself alert and ready.
You think we did have forever the way you can't stop talking?
I only talk so much when I got nothing better to do. My name is Ethan, Baron of Pleasantville. Looks like we ran these fuckers right into you. Not on purpose, of course.
I kind of gathered that. It's a pretty unusual tactic.
I don't know. It could be kind of a new sport, I guess. Didn't make things easy for you, did I? I know most what goes on around here, and I don't know you. So I'd say you're either traveling through or lost.
Good guess.
So, then why don't you call the rest of your people out, and then we can get back to Pleasantville and you can rest.
Rest, yeah. That'd be good. But how do we know it won't be a permanent rest?
Hell, One Eye. I could have done that right from the start, and you know it.
Ryan did. The riders surrounded them, and the companions were fatigued from two extensive firefights.
Okay. You win.
He raised his arm and gestured. The companions came from their concealment. Jack, Christy, Mildred, Doc, and JB joined Ryan, forming a circle around the Baron. All of them were careful to keep their arms by their sides, hands free of weapons. Ethan studied them.
That everyone?
Ryan felt a twinge of pain at the reminder that they were now only six, but nodded.
There's a hell of a lot of dead stickies for just six of you. Glad you chose to be reasonable.
The foliage began to rustle and ripple as though it were alive. Through the blanket of cover emerged a dozen riders, all clad similarly to their baron. The horses were a mix of squat pony stock and sleeker beasts. The composition of the sect party itself was a mix. Short and tall, fat and thin, black, white, and all shades between. Whatever kind of a Ville Pleasantville may be, it certainly had no issues like the last Ville they encountered. The riders surrounded the companion so that Ethan now sat in the middle of two rings, the inner, the possible threat the companions represented, the outer, his protection. The clearing wasn't large enough to accommodate all the horses and people that were now gathered there, and the companions could quite literally feel the breath of the horses down their necks.
This really all of them, Gray Horse?
Ryan figured that the one who answered would be the second in command. He made a mental note of who that sect chief may be. He was a hook-nosed, craggy man with long dreadlocks down his back. He looked to be part white, part black, and part Native American, but all nasty. He had a still, calm air about him, and Ryan knew immediately the man was dangerous. Gray Horse shook his head.
Yeah, ain't no others. They're good. Give them that.
One of the other riders leered at the women.
Some are a whole lot better than others, if you ask me.
This was a squat, fat man with one clouded eye and scars across his forehead. He smiled, but looked about as far from the idea of a jolly fat guy as it was possible to get. He nudged the side of his mount with his heel, and the horse's head came down, pushing at Christie's shoulder.
I'm betting this one could be real good. You know what I'm saying?
Christie stepped to one side.
Watch what you're doing, fat boy.
Ho, 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 what do we have here? Ha, she's a real feisty one, ain't she?
Cut it out, Jono.
Come on, Gray Horse. It's just a little fun. Could be a whole lot more fun, though.
Christy backed away from the horse, her body tensing. Her Titian mane had closed around her neck and shoulders protectively. The companions tensed with her. They knew that they were hopelessly outnumbered, but they would always defend one of their own. Ryan kept his eye fixed on Ethan. The Baron was watching the developments with interest. The one-eyed man guessed that he was using this situation to evaluate what he was dealing with. Ryan subtly signaled to the others to stay. They were watching for his lead, and although they had the desire to fight, they knew that he was playing the odds.
Jono, I said cut it out. Do I have to give you more scars than you already got?
Shit, it's only some fun, right, Baron?
The fat man looked across at Ethan. The Baron said nothing.
Yeah, only some fun.
He leaned forward over the front of the horse and reached out for Christy.
Just a little fun, honey. Now, y'all don't want to do anything to get all your friends chilled, do ya?
He reached out and looped his fingers in her hair, trying to tug her toward him. The strength of the prehensile mane surprised him, and a frown crossed his face. He tried to pull her to him. At first, Christy held back, making him tug harder, sit farther forward on his saddle. Then she acquiesced, moving a few steps closer and letting him believe that he had the upper hand. He was still seated confidently forward on the saddle when Christy stepped back suddenly, wrenching her head, straining her neck muscles, and feeling the hair tug on her scalp. The sentient tresses had encircled his hand to hold it in a vice-like grip. It wasn't something she could do consciously, but a reflexive result of the adrenaline coursing through her body. She felt a searing pain as she pulled the asshole off his saddle. Her hair let loose of the fat man's hand, and he fell forward. He crashed onto the ground at her feet, landing heavily on a dead sticky. He struggled to his feet, eyes blazing. The mounted riders reached for their weapons, but a gesture from Greyhorse stopped them. The sect chief could see that the Baron was studying this with interest. Likewise, Ryan stayed his people. Christy could handle this asshole. The fat man was facing her. She backed away from him to give herself room to maneuver. He took this as a sign of weakness, and a savage grin crossed his features.
You won't be so feisty when I'm finished with you.
He pulled a long-bladed hunting knife from beneath the layers of skins and furs. Christy grinned slightly. He lunged at her with all the finesse of a runaway rhino, minus the danger. She stepped aside to allow his arm to thrust past her, then caught him at the elbow, snapping his arm backward, and at the same time kicking back with the heel of one silver-tipped cowboy boot, cracking his shin and raking down, splitting the cloth and flesh and hammering into the bone. The fat man toppled over in agony. Christy easily took the knife from his hand and dug one knee in the middle of his back, pinning him to the ground. With one hand, she pulled his head up by his hair, and with the other, held the blade of the knife against his throat.
Give me one good reason. Just one.
The riders had been still long enough, and now their weapons were trained on her. Greyhorse held his hand aloft to stop them from firing. There was a second, so tense it seemed like an hour, before Ethan spoke.
Seems to me you met your match, Jono, and you got what you deserved. But please don't chill the feeb lady. He's too good a hunter to lose over his bad manners.
Christy let the fat man go and stood, stepping out of his immediate range as she did so. He stood and dusted himself down, shaking his head to clear it, cursing under his breath. He turned and glared at Christy, then at his knife, which she still held by her side.
Hey, I was only joking, you know.
Well, you're not funny. And you're no fighter, either.
She's got your number, Jono. Jono really ain't a bad fighter, but you're better. All of you, by the look of what you did before we got here.
We've all learned you've got to watch your own back.
Well, you're interesting people, that's for sure.
Interesting is a word evoking vague indication of intent.
You see what I mean? What the hell are you talking about, old man? You pitch up in the middle of a bunch of rabid stickies, womp the shit out of them, face off with a superior force in terms of arms and numbers, and then stand there and discuss the meaning of words. Shit! If that ain't interesting, then you tell me what is.
A fair point.
Good. Then you must come back to our ville so we can learn a bit more about you. In return, you'll get fed and watered and get to rest.
And if we say no?
Ethan's smile hardened.
Now, when did I say you had a choice?
Ryan looked at the horsemen surrounding the companions. He didn't like the fact that they were being told what they had to do. Handing over power to another wasn't something that came easily to any of them. On the other hand, they were in no practical position to fight. The Baron seemed open enough to want to learn about them, and any hint of hostility so far came only when he was crossed. The companions needed rest and food, and it would be stupid to turn down the chance for this. Any problems could be dealt with as they arose, when they were rested and in a better condition. Looking at his friends, Ryan could see that they were all bruised, dusty, and tired.
Okay, you've talked us into it.
Good. Now, we wouldn't expect you to walk, as it's some way. You have any objection to sharing our horses?
Ryan looked around at the riders. Some of the horses looked as though they wouldn't support more than one man, but others seemed sturdy enough. He looked back to Ethan and shook his head briefly.
Okay. As for you, Jono...
The fat man was still standing where he had fallen.
You can take the lady with you, but she gets to keep that knife of yours for now. It's her trophy. And, young lady, feel free to make sure the fat bastard doesn't try anything else on the way back.
Jono said nothing, but his expression betrayed his feelings about the Baron's decision. He looked sullen as he climbed back onto his horse, grudgingly holding his hand out for Christie. The Titian-haired beauty made a point of ignoring it and mounted behind him. Greyhorse, the sect chief, took over, assigning a rider to each of the five companions, taking Ryan on his own mount. It was obviously a gesture of respect. Next to the Baron, he was the highest-ranking rider, and he was acknowledging Ryan's leadership. The one-eyed man took this in the spirit it was intended and nodded his thanks as he mounted the stallion that carried the sect chief. When they were in position, Ethan held up his hand.
We go back the same way. Take it easy. The horses must be exhausted after the chase, and some have extra loads. Keep alert, but I don't figure on there being trouble, do you, Grey Horse?
The sect chief gave a brief shake of his head, his dreadlocks brushing against Ryan. Ethan nodded, pleased.
Let's go.
The hunting party started back through the forest, taking the path that had been carved by the pack of stickies as they had rampaged, tearing their way through the foliage and trees. Taking this path, the companions became aware of the extent of the damage caused by the pack.
What the hell were they doing?
Ryan looked at the churned-up earth and devastation left in their wake.
I've seen a shitload of stickies in my time, but I've never known them to act like this, and to stay and fight like they did. Usually they run.
Your guess is as good as mine. They attacked some farmers on the edge of the vill, and we set out after them. Expected an easy hunt. Chill them, then go home. But I've never seen stickies move at that pace. Something spooked them.
Figured it might have been you. After all, you were at the rear.
Only because we hadn't yet caught up with them when they ran into you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ryan kept the hint of doubt out of his voice. Why chase after them when they had already passed by the vill? There was something about the story that didn't quite ring true. But that could wait until later, until Ryan had wrecked the situation a little better. What was important now was to get to the vill and to rest. As the horses trotted gently over the rough earth, the one-eyed man felt every little rut in the ground. He felt his body begin to give in to the fatigue that had been staved off for so long by the adrenaline rush of combat and the need to keep alert.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.